Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 17. Satyam vidatum nida vritya bhasitam Vyaptim jabuteshva kilaishva chatmanaha Adrishita tat yad bhuta rupa advahan stambe sabayam na rigam na manusham satyam true Vidatum, to prove. Nidabritya bhashitam, the words of his own servant, who had said that his Lord is present everywhere. Vyaptim, the pervasion. Cha, and. Bhuteshu, among the living entities and elements. Akileshu, all. Cha, also. Atmanaha, of himself. Adrishyata, was seen. Ati, very. Adbhuta, wonderful. Rupam, form. Udvahan, talking, or taking. Stambe, in the pillar. Sabayam, within the assembly. Na, not. Mrigam, an animal. Na, nor. Manusham, a human being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To prove that the statement of His servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, yes, my Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakingly true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as a half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad Maharaj's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kondiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashiti. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad. Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotees, saying, in effect, don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting his form as Nrisimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully man or a lion. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. The form is neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Ramadi Murtishu Kalani Namena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishnak Swayam Sambhavat Paramak Pumanyo Govindam Adi Purushang Samahang Vajami. Krishna is coming in many different forms, of which the chief forms, Ramadi, Murtishu, are generally his human forms. But in order to perform a certain task, Krishna has no problem coming as Raha, a boar, or as Korma, a tortoise, or as Mihini Murti, a beautiful woman. Krishna has no problem. And what to speak of Krishna, we find in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that even the demons can assume all kinds of forms. We should not think that Agasura always looked like Agasura. No, in order to, just like Pralambasura, of course Pralambasura, he assumed the form of a cowherd boy. Now, even we ourselves as devotees, we can't assume the form of a cowherd boy or anything else. But because the demons have mystic powers through their austerity, they can do many amazing things. They appear as a cowherd boy, Pralambasura, or Agasura appeared as a snake, or Putana disguised herself as a beautiful woman. Putana in her previous life was who? Yes, that's right. And before that, she has some connection with another demon. Anyhow, Supranaka. Demons have a long history. Of course, everyone has a long history. They have an interesting history. So, every incarnation of Krishna is either a human form or an animal form. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yadya vibhuti mat sattvam shurim shimat orvitam evava tat tat evavagakshitvam mate jangsa sambhava. Know that all beautiful and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. And therefore, Prabhupada sometimes says that Krishna appears in all the different species of life. That doesn't mean that there's a incarnation of a mosquito. Beautiful mosquito. Doesn't bite. Gives blood. No, when Krishna says that, it means that everything we see is an expansion of Krishna's energy, at least. So everything, Sarvatra Paniparam Tat Sarvatra Shri Shimo Mukham Sarvatra Shuti Maloke Sarm Avritya Dehinam Sarm Vritti Tishati. Everywhere is his hands and legs and his eyes and faces, and he exists everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists everywhere. In other words, we think that this is our arms and our legs, but actually they're Krishna's arms and legs. He's the proprietor and we're the renter. We're just here temporarily. But the actual controller and the proprietor is Krishna. And therefore every form can be said, in the universal form, can be said to be Krishna's form. And of course Krishna not only has many forms in the material world, but he has unlimited forms in the spiritual world also. Because that's the meaning of God. He can do whatever he wants. Now, it may surprise us that Hiranyakashipu was not familiar with the fact that Krishna could be a tortoise or a boar, whatever else. But then we have to remember that he, first of all, was in the spiritual world, his brother, as Jaya and Vijaya. And then they came in Satyuga before all the other incarnations appeared. He was the first Yuga. Therefore, he didn't know about all these other forms because he never studied the Vedas. Or if he did study the Vedas, he definitely didn't study the previous Srimad Bhagavatams. Therefore, he didn't know about all these, how God could come in many different forms. Otherwise, he could have asked for, combined benediction. No combination of forms is allowed. out. Animal man out. But he didn't do that because he didn't have experience of all the subsequent incarnations of Krishna and what they would do when they came. Therefore, parasya shakti eva vidaiva shuyate svabhaviti bala kriya cha. The Krishna's energies are acting as a natural sequence, and he can do whatever he wants with them. He can appear wherever he wants. He can disappear whenever he wants. Anywhere, at any time, in any place. And do whatever he wants, even with any part of his limbs. Angani, yasa, sakalag. That every part of his body can act as any other part of the body. Therefore, he can eat with his eyes. And he can eat just by hearing the words of his devotee offering the food. I don't know what he likes better, hearing the words or eating with his eyes. Because Krishna's, all the different parts of his body are interchangeable. So that's the meaning of God. But then a God, we shouldn't think that God is some kind of strange personality. You never know what he's doing or he's looking at. No, his normal activities are those of Krishna. He acts in a human-like way. But for extraordinary reasons, he may do things like when he was trying to get the... He was entering into Mathura, he met one washerman who was carrying the clothes of the king. And the king, Krishna asked the washerman, "Can you give me those clothes? They look pretty good." And the washerman started to give him a lecture. He said, "Wait a second, kid. You know, these belong to the king. You know, you shouldn't ask for the property of the king. You'll get into a lot of trouble." Now, I have personal experience like that. Trying to take the property of the king can wind you up in a position you wish you were never in. So Krishna became angry, and with his hand he just cut off the head of the washerman. Now, we've heard of karate experts. I mean, black belts. But there's a platinum belt. I never heard of anyone having a hand that it can act as a sword and cut off someone's head. I mean, they can do some damage, but not that amount of damage. Now we may wonder, Krishna, I hope he doesn't do that with the gopi sometimes. The gopi frustrates him. Oh, wait a second. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is, Krishna doesn't kill demons. It's Krishna's incarnations that emerge with him, his Vishnu forms that kill the demons. Krishna is always situated in transcendence, and sometimes the demons do the things that are required in order for his pastimes to go on, in terms of Vinashaya Tridiskritam, vanquishing the demons. Therefore, Krishna is always in original form, and we should understand even his expansions don't have the same, they have the same quality of mentality as Krishna, but they have to perform a certain activity. Therefore, they do it as that particular form. In other words, Krishna's, even his incarnations, all have the same mentality because they're all coming from Krishna. But they perform, they know what they're doing. They don't think, when Krishna kills the washing man, he doesn't think he's killing anyone because he knows these are just material energy. It's not that Krishna becomes angry and foolish and he thinks, "Now I got you." No, but this is part of his pastimes. Even to help the demons merge in Brahman, fulfill their wishes, Krishna comes in different forms in order to enact that particular activity. So Krishna is expert. One of his qualities, he's expert at time, place, and circumstance. If he wants to lift a mountain the size of Bhumandala, which is quite big, we may think that this planet is big because we don't even know what the planet is, what it looks like actually. But we may think it's quite big, this planet, but it's just a speck on Bhumandala, which is millions of yojanas across. And Krishna comes in order to lift this Bhumandala out of the Garbhadak ocean. He comes as a boar. I don't know how dirty the Garbhadak ocean is, but it says to lift up something from a filthy place. I doubt whether there's too much contamination in the Garbhadakta ocean. But in any case, in order to lift something up, you need something strong, like a boar. So he comes as a boar to lift the planet up. The Bhumandala, more than just this ordinary planet. He comes as a tortoise because that way the demigods and the demons can use him as a churning pivot. And at the same time, it is said that Lord Tortoise, Korma, had an itch on his back so they could do service to him. When they were rotating the mountain, they were scratching his back and doing some devotional service. So in this way, Krishna comes again and again in an appropriate way in order to fulfill only three basic principles. Kill demons like Hiranyakashipu and protect devotees like Prahlad. And to show it's not a good idea to become a demon, better become a devotee. Become a devotee, you'll be protected. If you become a demon, you'll be vanquished. So this is the main religious principle that Krishna established. But as we'll find out, the demons never learn. Because even though it's been going on since time immemorial, they always lose. But they always think this time is going to be different. They're as crazy as the rest of us. Because everyone in the material world thinks, I'm going to do this in the material existence, and this time it's going to be different. But it's always the same. But that's material energy, illusion. This time, there won't be any reaction. It'll just be happiness and no reaction. And every time there's a reaction, and Maya says, oh, I'm sorry. Next time it'll be different. Sorry, this time I forgot. But I promise you. You should trust me. You don't trust me? And then Maya smashes us again. That's her business. And conditions soul's business is to get tricked again and again and again and think, I'm very wise. No one can ever trick me. And always get tricked. This time I learned. This time I got it all down. I don't have to take a retest. And then we get tricked again. Oh my God. And again. So these stories are there to show us Krishna always wins and the conditions, the demoniac people always lose. And therefore, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on Krishna, whatever the odds may be. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So you were talking about how Krishna, in his original form, never kills the demons. He expands to do it, but just wondering, what is the reason for this? It's not like he would be like negatively affected by killing demons, or why does he?
He doesn't like blood. No, because Krishna is always in his Vrindavan pastimes, enjoying with the gopis. Why should he change his consciousness? Why should he change his what he's doing? His mood is always, you know, as in the five rasas. He doesn't come down to this material world to kill demons, which is ghastly rasa. So it's inconceivable how Krishna always maintains himself in the spiritual world, and therefore here in the material world, when he has to do business, which is not his direct pastimes with his associates, then his expansions take over. Just as the super soul, Krishna is always present as the super soul, but his presence as a super soul doesn't disturb his mood in Vrindavan. Yes.
What about Lord Chaitanya? Isn't he Krishna that came down killing the demoniac mentality? Isn't that also...
Well, he doesn't go around so, here, but demoniac mentality. It's like, oh, I'm a demoniac. He's dead. Oh. Look at the demoniac mentality. Krishna killed him. No, he comes and spreads love of God. That's what kills the demoniac mentality. He purifies everyone's heart through spreading the holy name. Brings he's always, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always in Vrindavan experiencing separation from Radha and Krishna. He's never in the material existence. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for this lecture. I was listening to Mahapur Parikrama yesterday, and Pankajangri Prabhu was telling this story how Maya Devi was complaining to Krishna, saying, "Oh, I'm so unfortunate because you know, everyone can actually bring you, everyone wants to get closer to you, but I have the mission to turn people away from you. How unfortunate I am." And she was like really sad. And then Krishna, apparently, what Pankajangri Prabhu said to her, "No, you never think like that, because you're my direct expansion as Radharani, and you're here, and your job is to perform different pastimes according to my will." So I'd like to hear your comment on this statement.
Okay. What am I supposed to say?
Okay.
Well, I see Durga Devi is an expansion of Radharani. All the Shakti expansions are all coming from Srimati Radharani. But, you know, she has her, it's all Krishna, Srimati Radharani expands to serve Krishna in a certain way, so she expands as Durga Devi to serve Krishna in that capacity. Different moods. Just like Srimati Radharani doesn't want unqualified people to serve Krishna. It's not that you go back to the spiritual world and you're bringing prasadam and you trip and you spill it all over the divine couple. It's not allowed. You can't get near the divine couple unless you're fully qualified. Therefore, Srimati Radharani wants to keep the demons away from Krishna so they don't bother him. But at the same time, she's compassionate. She wants them to become devotees so they can serve her and Krishna. Therefore, she chastises them all the time to qualify them. So she has two roles: chastising the demon and keeping them away from Krishna. It's called Avaratmika Shakti and Prakatmika Shakti. Prakatmika Shakti is chastising the demons, and Avaratmika Shakti is covering them so they don't bother Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Kidaj.